It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Stowe. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Ference is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Ference cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Ference Stowe.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. I have some news that probably 90% of you are not aware of, and it has to do with voting by aliens and the laws associated with it. I'm going to share some of this information on the show today. But before I get there, because it's going to just astound most of you, but before I get there, I've got some really good economic news, or investment news, I guess I should say. And it's so good, I want to share it before I forget and run out of time. So it was very interesting. Last week, I had lunch with the CEO of a major insurance company. And there's a number of things I've been looking at in terms of the outlook of what's going on. We discuss your personal bank concept on this show all the time. Again, it's just a very simple process of setting up a high cash value policy. It could be an IUL, it could be a whole life, it could be a number of different things. The bottom line is the goal is to grow your money insured, guaranteed, tax-free, safely, and create a lot of high liquidity day one, and the ability to then create positive arbitrage by accessing the funds, typically through a bank line of credit. Most of the time, your dividends you earn or interest you earn is higher than the interest charged by the banks when you access the funds. So you get to keep the difference or the spread or positive cash flow or positive arbitrage. That's the basic premise of the personal bank concept. And it's gaining more and more traction through average individuals, more and more knowledge is getting out there about it, and I'm glad to see it. It's very common in the institutional world. Banks invest in this by the truckloads, literally billions and billions of dollars. I know I was on a bank board, as you know. My point is this, there's some very, very bright economic news or investment news in the whole insurance industry, fixed interest, dividend paying assets, things like that, because of the higher interest rates. And it's really, the reality is, the interest rate environment we're in right now is not high. If you look over the last, say, 40 years or so, we're in a roughly average interest rate environment. And this is something we keep hearing from Wall Street, for example, where they keep talking about how interest rates are going to drop. There's going to be interest rate cuts. They're looking for cuts. And I've stated on the show repeatedly, I understand what Wall Street wants. And they're trying to advocate for that because it's lower interest rates are typically good for business and good for the stock market. But if you listen to who the decision makers are, the Federal Reserve, their mantra, their message consistently for quite some time now has been higher for longer. As I stated, I had lunch with a CEO of a major insurance company, also got the chance to talk to their head buyer. This is a large institutional bond, institutional, and they stated that they're very, very defensive on the stock market. They could not be more bullish on fixed assets, particularly bonds, treasuries, things like that. And as they stated, the CEO, in his 37-year career, he's never seen a situation where they were better positioned to raise dividends, raise returns on investors, because their profits are so much higher now than they were even a couple of years ago. Understand, insurance companies invest primarily in bonds, and bonds have been paying very, very low rates, historically low rates, because of the historical low interest rate environment. And interest rates have come back up quite significantly from the lows, which was I know for folks that have not paid attention for more than a decade or so, or maybe relatively new in the financial world, it was so low for so long that we got used to that as a new normal, and it's not normal. A 3% mortgage, 30-year fixed mortgage, for example, is not normal. It's an abnormal, it's an aberration. And one of the things I state all the time is it's highly unlikely that any of us who are living today, and I don't care if you're a baby, are gonna see that type of interest rate environment again. It's that unusual. So to expect it to go back to that type of stuff is very unrealistic. And even if interest rates do go back down some, they won't go down to the lows of where they were, like I said, where you could get a 30-year fixed mortgage at 3% or less even sometimes. And that, of course, affected interest rates and bonds and returns and dividends. Well, those are going up. And in fact, they're stating there already, he stated to me that their dividends are going up and they expect them to go up for likely every year for the next 5 to 10 years. Pretty much every year seeing an increase in dividend returns because of the higher interest rate environment than the past decade. More profitability. Also, they're even sharing some where fees are coming down. It's just a really, really exciting time to be in the fixed interest arena. As he stated, the best we've seen since about 40 years, since the early 1980s. So if you're looking to maximize returns, insured, guaranteed, tax-free, highly liquid, and likely an increasing return for the next 5 to 10 years, you really want to look into your personal bank because this can accomplish that for you. I've stated on the show so many times, and it's true, our economy has changed. Interest rates have changed. We're in a different economic environment than we were a couple of years ago. The assets that tended to thrive over the past decade with low interest rates, like stocks, real estate, and things like that, will likely struggle. And the assets that did not do so well in a low interest rate environment, that's anything associated with interest rates, fixed interest, dividends, you know, look at CD rates, for example, in banks, those are likely going to thrive. They've come up dramatically in the last couple of years. Your personal bank can help you accomplish that. And historically, the average is 7 to 8% historical dividends. And we're going to be headed back to that very soon. We're already at 6 and they're going up from there. So that's the point I'm trying to say is we have 6% plus dividends now, insured and tax-free. And don't forget, some people will say, well, 6% isn't all that great. Well, that remember, it's a tax-free return. And if you're in the 25% tax bracket, let's say state and federal, which is the typical American, an 8% taxable return is equivalent to a 6% after-tax return because 25% of your return is taxable. Also, don't forget, if Congress does nothing, in another year, in 2026, actually, taxes are going to go up for nearly everyone because we're currently under the Trump tax program, and that expires in 2025. If nothing is done, then the tax brackets will revert back to the 2016 levels, which were higher for nearly every bracket, which means nearly every American will have higher taxes. And give you an example, if you're earning $100,000 taxable income in a year, the new rates will increase your taxes by about 4% or $4,000. So if you're at 100K income, your taxes are going to increase about $4,000 more than they are now. Again, that's if Congress does nothing. Now, the only way Congress is going to change or extend the Trump tax rates is if the Republicans gain the presidency in the House and the Senate. If it's a divided government, I can be pretty much assured nothing's going to happen. And the Biden administration and Biden himself has come out and stated he will let the Trump tax rates expire, which means, again, taxes will go up for everyone. So creating a tax-free bucket of money with an increasing dividend and likely increasing for the next 5 to 10 years, that is very appealing, and tax-free is going to become more and more important for people, especially if taxes go up, and that is the current law on the books. So again, it's some super exciting information, what's going on in the insurance industry with dividends and such, and what we foresee happening. Interest rates staying, there's highly unlikely, this was some of the other stuff that they were sharing from the institutional bond buyers, highly unlikely, there's no expectation of interest rate cuts in 2024. I know what you're hearing from the media and Wall Street, but the reality is the institutional buyers do not believe we will see a rate cut this year. And some are even saying not even until next year, possibly 2025. The Federal Reserve themselves have reiterated repeatedly, higher for longer, which means they're going to keep the interest rates higher for longer. That's the reality of what's going on. Again, listen to what the Fed is saying. And then the last part of it is why I believe that interest rates will be higher for longer is bond interest rates are going to likely be higher, pressured to the higher side, because as the federal government continues to spend more than it receives, they have to sell bonds and to sell record, and they're selling a record amount of bonds each year, and that bond selling is increasing, so the inventory of bonds that they're selling keeps increasing, they have to sweeten the pot or increase the interest rates to get the bond buyers to buy it, which is good for dividends. Again, the federal government's lack of financial sanity creates an opportunity. You can invest in your personal bank, which will give you the higher, actually not only increased bond returns. Remember, insurance companies have three income sources. The bonds they buy, they also earn fees and such on products that they sell. And then they have their actuarial costs or actuaries. So if they do well in their actuarial determinations, they get profits there too. So when you have three income sources, that's why the dividends on a good high cash paying policy is typically higher than bond rates, is because they're earning the bond returns, yes, but they're also got profits on top of that. So they typically are higher, and you can take advantage of that. It can benefit you, is what I'm trying to say. So certainly worth looking into. It certainly seems that the interest rates are not going down anytime in the near future. Dividends are just going to keep going up. As a result, interest rates are going to stay higher as a result, and we just have to get used to the new normal. Change what you're doing. Change it up. If you keep doing what you were doing before, yes, it worked in the previous decade, but there's no guarantee it's going to work this decade. And if we go forward, it looks increasingly likely that not only won't work, it will probably suffer. When you can thrive elsewhere, you can diversify with your personal bank. And by the way, I know it's another whole topic, but annuities have gotten far more competitive now too. So if you just want an account where it's just going to grow, where you got good upside potential, double-digit potential growth on good market years, no downside risk in bad years, I've got an account right now to pay 8% guaranteed the first year. And then it's based on the 10-year treasury after that. And it's locked in at 4.5% right now. If interest rates continue to pressure up, or bond interest rates keep pressuring up, you can take advantage of that. You can allocate some of the funds in that and do it on a tax-deferred basis with guarantees. It's pretty interesting. It's a very interesting time to be in the fixed market. Again, the best we've seen in 40 years. So we're at a 40-year low. We were at a 40-year low on dividends, and now they're going up. The old mantra, buy low, sell high, right? We're at a 40-year low, folks, a generational low. When do you want to get in? Stay tuned in the next segment. I'm going to share some information that when I saw this, I had to look it up myself because I couldn't believe it. I don't think you know about this either, so stay tuned.
Are you concerned about the direction our country is headed and how it may affect your money? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Your Personal Bank provides a place to grow your money safely with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This keeps your money safe, and you can take advantage of opportunities regardless of the economic situation. For more information, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422. That's yourpersonalbank.com. Concerned about market risk? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Diversification is one of the best ways to offset risk. Your personal bank is not affected by the stock or real estate markets. It is an uncorrelated asset that provides true diversification. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. In the first segment, I was discussing some of the exciting economic news, investment news on the fixed market side, your personal bank dividends. Folks, they're on their way up, and likely for the next 5 to 10 years even. It's very exciting time. The best time we've seen in 40 years, as I stated at the end of last segment. So if you want to learn more about it, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com, how you could have an increasing return, insured, guaranteed, tax-free, high liquidity, and even receive positive arbitrage or positive cash flow in your money even after you spend it. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, in fact, if you listen to one of the previous shows I did, What is Your Personal Bank, or go to my website, yourpersonalbank.com, you can see it right there, and I'll tell you more about it. Also have an app, Your Personal Bank app. Tend to forget that, but it's very popular. So one of the things I was reading about recently, and those of you who listen know that I pay attention to a lot of the current events, things that go on in our country that affect our money, our society, and all these types of things. And there's been a lot of arguments and discussions about aliens, illegal aliens, voting in our elections. And of course, we get here all the time, oh, that's not happening, or it's rare, and all these types of things. Of course, we have an open border. We have millions of illegals in our country that weren't here just a few years ago. But this just gobsmacked me. When I saw this, I couldn't believe it at first. But when I saw this, I was absolutely dumbfounded. And just go to the source. It's talking about what is the federal law when it comes to illegal aliens voting. And you can go to USC code. It's the United States code. This is the law of the land. It's USC code 18, chapter 29, section 611. And it's titled Voting by Aliens. I'm going to post this on our website too at yourpersonalbank.com if you want to go there. And please share it with anybody you think may be interested. Quote a couple of key points on this. Again, USC code 18, chapter 29, section 611, titled Voting by Aliens. And it starts off by saying it shall be unlawful for any alien to vote in any election. Okay, fine. We're all good with that. But then when you get to subsection letter C, it says subsection A does not apply to an alien if. In other words, what it's saying is being unlawful for an alien to vote does not apply if the following conditions apply. And there's two of them that just blew my mind. The first one of it is, it says, number two, the alien permanently resided in the United States prior to attaining the age of 16. We've had a lot of discussions about the dreamers and all that type of stuff, folks that have been here, came here as kids. Well, it turns out, according to U.S. federal law, USC code 18, it is legal for a non-citizen, an alien, to vote in our elections as long as they permanently resided in the United States prior to the age of 18. It says nothing about being a citizen, a legal resident, a green card or work permit or anything else for that matter. They just have to have had resided as a child under the age of 16. And then once, of course, they attain the age of 18, they can now vote. That one blew me away. I had no idea. And I think most of you listening probably had no idea either. You want to talk about something that can impact our society, impact our economy? I'm going to discuss some of these more things, how the effects of all this are going to be. But there's one more key piece to this in the law that just, again, blew me away. And it was the next one, section three, stating it does not apply. In other words, it's not unlawful for an alien, illegal alien, to vote if the alien reasonably believed at the time of voting that he or she was a citizen of the United States. Again, it states if they reasonably believed. So in other words, citizenship is not a legal process. It's not a process you have to go through and you get sworn in and you get your papers and now you're a legal citizen, like my dad did when he was a political refugee, escaped the Soviets in 1956 from Hungary. And he went through the process and it took him about 5 years plus, I know, when he got here to become a U.S. citizen, go through the process, pay the fees, do what you're supposed to do and get sworn in and you get the documents and you're documented as a citizen. No, none of that applies. You just have to reasonably believe that you are a citizen. So in other words, citizenship, according to our federal law, is a state of mind. It's not a legal process or a legal thing at all. It's just a state of mind. So you either could come in as a child under the age of 16 and then legally vote as an alien, illegal alien, or you can just believe you're a citizen and you can vote. And you will not be held accountable at all. I am certain that most of you that listen to this are as dumbfounded as I was. By the way, this has been the law of the land since 2000, for the last 24 years. And are non-citizens, are illegals voting in our elections? Well, let me give you a couple of studies and things that are going on. For example, there is an article here, which again I'll post on yourpersonalbank.com from the Washington Times. And the title of the article is Non-Citizens Caught Voting in U.S. Elections and Here's How They Did It. In other words, these are non-citizens, illegals, that were caught and went to court and all this, and it was proven that they voted in elections, and some of them have been voting in elections for decades. Like this one gentleman he's talking about, he was part of the boat lift that brought 250,000 Cubans, including criminals and mental hospital agents, to the U.S. in 1980. He can't qualify for U.S. citizenship, and Cuba refuses to take him back, so he's stuck on what they call parole. And he remains in the U.S., and he cannot obtain a green card, so he's decidedly not a citizen. Yet that didn't stop him from showing up at an early voting location in North Carolina in 2016, according to the court, and a poll worker encouraged him to sign up and vote. And he basically showed his government-issued work permit as ID, and he couldn't even read English. They registered him as a Democrat, and he voted. This was a case in court. There's multiple cases in this article. It discusses 37 migrants, or they call them migrants, they're illegals, cast a total of at least 99 votes, ballots on record dating back to 1996, according to one of these court cases. Federal prosecutors in a state case brought charges against 37 non-citizens who voted in the 2016 election. It goes on and on and on. It also points out that the registered Democrats outnumber the Republicans, the non-citizens that are, by a 3-to-1 ratio. So it makes you start to realize suddenly why the Democratic Party overwhelmingly is for open borders, non-citizens, illegal aliens, because it's documented that they vote at a 3-to-1 clip Democrat. And then a study, it answers the question. I mean, why say, are they voting? Well, we got court documented cases of them actually doing it. And then here was another study. I'm going to post this on our website also, yourpersonalbank.com. Please share this. This study shows that 10 to 27% of non-citizens are illegally registered to vote. This is based on methodology, but from Just Facts on a study. They stated that the U.S. Census has now recorded more than 19 million adult non-citizens living in the U.S. in 2022. Folks, the numbers are higher in 24, aren't they? And so this means their estimates, their best estimates based on an extensive groundbreaking study, as they put it, in the academic journals, is they estimate that somewhere between 2 to 5 million of these non-citizens, adults, are illegally registered to vote. They estimate, the best estimates, about 6% of them actually voted. And they also, in the study, determined about 81% of them, almost 82%, reported voting for Barack Obama. And then illegal votes cast by non-citizens likely, as they put it, changed important election outcomes in the favor of Democrats and electoral college votes in a number of pivotal U.S. Senate and House races, for example, which allowed the Democrats to pass Obamacare. We got Obamacare, for example, most likely because we have illegal aliens voting in our elections. Nearly any close election is subject to potentially being overturned or lost by citizens because of the non-citizen vote. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not allowed to vote in China or Russia or France or anywhere else for that matter. Are you? Unless you're a citizen there. But those people can come here and vote in our elections, and they have there's no legal recourse, because it's actually, according to the USC code, as I stated earlier, it's not unlawful. It's not unlawful for an illegal alien to vote if they permanently reside in the United States prior to the age of 16, or they reasonably believe at the time of voting that they are a U.S. citizen. This stuff blows my mind. This is the stuff that's been going on under our noses for a number of years, easily a decade, if not two, and the facts, thankfully, are finally starting to come out. Again, I'm going to post the USC code and these two articles on yourpersonalbank.com so you can check them out for yourself. You can pass them on. This stuff has to be stopped if we don't want our society fundamentally changed. if we don't want our economy fundamentally changed, folks, you understand that many of these people will now or already qualify and receive all types of government benefits from food and housing. And well, they're also going to get Medicare and Social Security, folks. If they don't already, or when they get to the age, they're going to qualify for that, whether they contribute into the system or not. From an economic standpoint, the producers are going to have to support many of these non-producers. These are folks I'm not against immigrants. I'm first generation. My dad was one, but he did it legally. What I'm against is illegal immigration. The bottom line is, if the first act of a person is to break, to disregard and blatantly disregard the laws of a country, what's to stop them from breaking other laws? It sets a pattern. It sets a precedent. And those are not the type of people you want in your society, because that will drag down and change a society, and it will drag down the economy with it. I'm going to discuss some more of these things in the next segment, since I'm running up on a hard break here. So I really encourage you to stay tuned, because folks, this is a really, really big deal.
Are you prepared if we fail to avoid a recession? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Most of the leading economic indicators show we are headed for recession. Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This protects you from the downside risk and allows you to take advantage of opportunities in a changing economy. For more info, contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. Inflation remains higher than average. I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Inflation increases costs and is typically bad for stocks and real estate values. Your personal bank dividends are interest rate sensitive. This can help offset inflation. For more info, tune in to the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you missed the last segment, I'm going to really encourage you to go back to yourpersonalbank.com. You can listen to this or any of the previously recorded shows. I was discussing the issue about aliens voting, illegal aliens, and the laws that are involved with this, which I'm going to be posting on the website at yourpersonalbank.com so you can check it out for yourself. It blew my mind. It blew my mind when I found out USC Code 18, Chapter 29, Section 611, titled Voting by Aliens, that it is not, and I repeat, not unlawful for an illegal alien, a non-citizen, to vote in the United States if they resided permanently in the United States prior to attaining the age of 16. In other words, if they came here as a kid, they can vote, whether they're a citizen or not, once they hit 18. Or a non-citizen, illegal alien, can vote if they reasonably believe at the time of voting that they're a citizen of the United States. You don't believe me? Look it up. USC Code 18, Chapter 29, Section 611, Voting by Aliens. It's in black and white. And I was absolutely blown away when I saw it. And again, there are many, many examples in court cases and such of non-citizens voting. And they as they stated, they get registered to vote for things like the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, or called the Motor Voter Law, where they're asked to register to vote when they get a driver's license. I mean, there's many, or other benefits, food stamps, whatever. There's many, many scenarios and situations where they get registered to vote even though they're not citizens. And then this, like I said, a few more things I shared in the last segment that I want to continue with here is this study by Just Facts. I mean, this was a pretty highly regarded study here done that states that somewhere between 10 to 27% of non-citizens are illegally registered to vote. And their findings point out that their best estimate is that 25% of non-citizens are illegally registered to vote. And we're talking about millions, folks, tens of millions of illegal immigrants. So if it's 25%, and let's just say there's 10 million illegal immigrants in this country now, and there's documented cases that have been shown where the non-governmental associations that are assisting these illegals across the open border we have, of them encouraging and educating them, showing them how to register and how to vote, and they're encouraging them to vote for Biden. Remember, Biden, it's documented, there's video evidence of it. And if you haven't seen it, you're just not paying attention. Just facts in this study, like I said, this was eye-opening. Arizona is my home state, and they stated in their study by claim that found non-citizens gave Biden between 33 to 69,000 extra votes for Biden, because non-citizens vote, and this is documented, about 3-to-1 ratio, Democrat. So non-citizens, and if you remember in the 2020 election, Biden won Arizona by, the official numbers were about 12,000. Well, if 33 to 69 were non-citizens, how is that legal? How is that allowed? That's the issue, that's the level of, in my opinion, fraud that we're dealing with, and we need to be, well, how do you fix it? Well, the first step is you got to be aware of the problem, right? Education is the first step. And then there needs to be an outcry from citizens to demand that this type of stuff be changed. Here's an example in the Just Facts study, and using the instructions for New Jersey as a state, which are typical of most states. They say the last four of your social security number or your driver's license is required for voter registration. But if you do not possess either of these IDs, just write none on the form and the state will assign a number that will serve to identify you for voter registration purposes. And as we know, many of these states do not require any type of ID to vote. There's a general lack of enforcement against illegal voting by non-citizens. And then to add on top of that, you've got identity fraud. For example, the Social Security Administration, by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, they stated that they estimated in 2010, so this goes back a ways, that almost a million illegal immigrants worked by using Social Security numbers obtained by fraudulent birth certificates. And almost another 2 million worked in 2010 by using Social Security numbers that did not match their name. So you've got fraudulent situations, you've got just lax enforcement. Many states don't require any kind of ID. The U.S. Census does not ask if you're a citizen in their question. It's just leaving doors wide open for illegal aliens, non-citizens, to vote in our country. And of course, every non-citizen vote nullifies the legal vote of a citizen, and that subverts our constitutional right to vote. A kind of a summary is this, is non-citizens have ample openings to illegally vote, and there's documented cases in court, multitudes of them, that's actually been done for decades even. Approximately 10 to 20% of them, 27% of them are registered to vote. And the estimates are about 5 to 13% of them vote in presidential elections. And the vast majority, 3 to 1, so 75% of them vote Democrat. If you take those estimates, and again, this goes back several years, with over 20 million non-citizen adults living in the U.S., it's estimated 1 to 3 million of them will illegally vote in 2024 unless we have stronger election integrity measures. In other words, if it comes down to a close election, the non-citizen vote, the illegal alien, could be the vote, the ones that push it over the edge. And all of us as citizens or residents of this country have to live with the ramifications of illegal aliens or non-citizens voting. Many of those cases, they're voting because they receive benefits from our government. And they want to continue to see those, they want to see those benefits continue. And that's why they're voting the direction or the way they are. It's not for the betterment of the country. It's not for the betterment of our society, our economy, or anything else for that matter. It's for their own personal benefit. And folks, if we don't wake up and educate ourselves about what is really going on with this and demand change, first we got to step up and take power. We have to demand change. It will only get worse, and we will lose our freedoms, the rights we have as citizens. We will lose our society as we know it, and we will lose this country as we know it. That you start to understand better why we have people like the Democrats who constantly say they want to fundamentally change this country. Well, this is a big part of how they're doing it. And I don't see hardly anybody discussing this. I'm hopeful that by me bringing this up, and I've been blessed that my show airs nationally, and there are people listening, and I get a lot of feedback, and many of the topics that I bring up on this show, I then hear later on some of the big national shows on TV and radio and elsewhere. So I'm hoping a number of people, pick up on this and get the word out. Again, the first step, don't get discouraged, because if we don't wake up to the problem, we'll never fix it. So the first step is being aware, being educated. And like I said, if you don't believe me, go to USC Code 18, Chapter 29, Section 611, Voting by Aliens. Look at the USC Code, or go to our website, yourpersonalbank.com, the website. I'm going to post all this stuff on there. Look at it for yourself. I was absolutely dumbfounded and blown away when I first learned about this, and I had to dig in and research it because I couldn't believe that our federal law would allow illegals to vote. And it flat out says it, as long as they came in as a child under the age of 16 or reasonably believe they're a citizen. Again, citizenship is defined by our federal law is a state of mind. It's not a legal thing. That's crazy, folks. This stuff has got to change or we will lose this country as we know it. That's just a fact. Are we going to step up and do something about it? Are we going to demand change? I hope so. I get asked this all the time. You know, I'm a financial guy, obviously, and people are concerned about inflation and interest rates and the economy and GDP and all these kinds of things. And I'll hear some people discuss things like, well, you know, we made it through the Great Depression and we made it through the 1970s recession and the Great Recession, 08, 09, things like that. We're a strong economy. We'll survive. We'll get through these things. And, you know, I tend to agree and to an extent when they share those things. And yes, as a country, we will. But the problem we have this time, what's different, is we have people on the inside in positions of power that are undermining and undercutting this country every step of the way, everywhere we look, including things like whoever passed this USC Code 18, allowing illegal aliens, non-citizens to vote because they reasonably believe they're a citizen. I mean, that's treasonous. I'm sorry. There's no two ways about it. This needs to be changed. This needs to be rectified. This needs to be enforced. It needs to be changed. The only real solution to getting non-citizens to stop voting is to deport non-citizens, illegal aliens. If you're an illegal alien, you don't belong here. You broke the law. You are a criminal. By the very act, the very first action you took entering our country was entering illegally. You broke the law. You're a criminal. Plain and simple, I don't care about anything else. You did not do it the right way. There is a process. There's a process to follow, just like my dad did, just like many legal immigrants have done and have added to the fabric of this country. I mean, we're a country of legal immigrants. Those are people that went through the process, went through the steps, went through the challenges to come to a better place and make a better opportunity, the land of opportunity for themselves and their families. And that's great. Those are the kind of people we want. We don't want people that are just coming here because they can get some freebies and they're going to break the law to do it. That's not the type of person or the type of character person that I want in my society, and neither should you. I don't care how you vote, what your political beliefs are. As a U.S. citizen, we're Americans. We should not want that type of person who just will flagrantly break the law as their first act coming into this country. That's not who we want here. That's not who we are as a country. Are we going to stand up for what's right and what we believe or not? Time will tell. I'm still hopeful, but I'm also concerned. Stay tuned in the last segment. I got a few other things I need to share about the economy and some other things I think you'll find very valuable, so I'm really going to encourage you to stay tuned.
When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. Accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including your personal bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. Economic freedom is freedom, and our freedoms are under attack. I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. In this time of uncertainty, can you grow your money safely, reduce taxes, and ensure you don't run out of money in retirement? Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, insured and tax-free. For more info, tune into the Your Personal Bank Show or contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference. If you missed the previous couple of segments, they're pretty intense. I'm going to warn you, but very educational. You're probably going to learn about something you had no idea about if you missed it. I'm going to encourage you to go to yourpersonalbank.com. It's about our federal laws, illegal aliens, non-citizens, and they're actually legally able to vote. Listen to the segment or go to my website, yourpersonalbank.com, and you can look up USC Code 18. I want to finish up with some economic news, some other things that are going on, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. A lot of people are concerned. There's a lot of questions. As I stated in the first segment, there's a lot of excitement in my world, in the insurance world, the dividend world. We're seeing higher returns. We're likely going to see that over the next 5 to 10 years even. Increasing returns, insured, guaranteed, tax-free, highly liquid, positive arbitrage. You can, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can do. It's an exciting time to be in my business, in my world. Annuities are more profitable than they've been. Frankly, any time since in my career, and this is my 25th year, this is the best time. If you're considering an annuity, fixed index annuity, that type of thing, folks, I'm going to tell you it's the best time I've seen in my career in 25 years. That's a fact. I know some people still have some hangups about them. They think, well, what's the limitation? You can only access 10% a year. Well, you know what? You want to know something? If you have an IRA or 401k and you're under 59 and a half, you can't touch it without a penalty anyway, right? Or if you're even older than that, you don't want to take large chunks out of an IRA or 401k in any given year because you're going to get hit with a big tax bill. IRAs and 401ks, qualified plans, are designed to take distributions from them periodically over time. And that's what an annuity is designed for. They have the same, they fall under the same umbrella, the same process. But if you want your money to grow with no downside risk, double-digit potential upside in good years, no downside in bad years, I have some of them that'll pay you 8% guaranteed the first year. And by the way, that's not a bonus, folks. That's a little kind of trick in the industry. There's signing bonuses out there. I just want to caution you. I've got one that'll pay you 16% upfront bonus. And if you want that, I'll show you how to get it. And it's legitimate. But I'm going to say on any bonus, they're vested. What does that mean? Well, you don't really get access to the money until a number of years later. So the signing bonus is all great, and it helps juice your returns, no question. In other words, you put in 100 grand, you get a 16% bonus, you got 116,000 in your account day one, and you're going to get gains and growth on that money from that point going forward. But what's the catch? Well, you're not going to be able to access that $16,000 bonus probably for 5 to 10 years. That's the facts. It'll juice your returns, absolutely, but you're not going to have access to all the money. So that's the catch 22. I've got accounts right now that will pay you 8% guaranteed return the first year, and that's available the first year. I mean, it's a real gain, real guaranteed returns. And then you can get into index options, which have double-digit potential in good market years, no downside in bad years. There's also fixed bucket options that are based on the 10-year Treasury. Right now, that's 4.5%, folks. If the Treasury, I like having that as an option, because what if interest rates continue to climb? That's a very real possibility we're in, especially with the federal government spending more than it receives, is going to be pushing bond rates upwards because they got to entice the bond buyers to buy more bonds, right? So there's going to be upward pressure on bond returns until the government stops spending more than it receives. And I don't know about you, but right now I see no inclination of our federal government reducing spending anytime in the near future. For the foreseeable future, we're going to see upward pressure, upward interest rates on bonds, which is great for your personal bank and for annuities. If you want more information, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. It's the best time I've seen in my industry for what I do in my career. This is my 25th year. So it's an exciting time, increasing dividends, insured, guaranteed, tax-free, highly liquid, positive arbitrage. All these things are available to you as a great tool to either shift your money, reposition, diversify. You want to create a tax-free bucket of money. You want to create a highly liquid bucket of money so you can take advantage of opportunities when we do see a correction. And yes, we will see a correction, folks. It's just history. This is my third rodeo. And I know recently the Dow hit all-time highs. And what happens in each of these cycles, this is sort of a psychological thing. The old fear and greed, right? The human emotions come into play. And Wall Street feeds on that or plays on that. And every time when the markets keep going up and going up and going up, like they've been doing recently, and by the way, it's a dichotomy. There's the stock market that's been recently going like crazy last year or two, and the economy's not. Interest rate, inflation's high, all these types of things. Main Street is suffering. Wall Street is thriving. Well, the numbers are, and we're getting a bigger and bigger dichotomy between the two. We've seen it before. We saw an 08, 09 period. We saw 01, 02, the dot-com bust, bubble, and then bust. We saw the real estate bubble and then bust. This will probably be the, I don't know what they're going to call this one, but it's a debt crisis is what it is. Low cost of money, low interest rates for so long, it's creating a bubble. The bubble's going to burst. The question is, that's not a question. And what's funny, I was starting to say, is it's interesting. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. That's the point. Nobody knows when, how much, or for how long. No one can tell you that. And if they try to, they're trying to sell you something. Let's be real. They don't know. If they really knew, they wouldn't be telling you, and then they would retire, right? I mean, that's what we would all do. So the fact is, nobody knows. But we will see a correction. But it tends to happen. It's a psychological thing. It tends to happen when people are feeling at their best. They get euphoric. And you start hearing things about, well, the market's never going to go back down. And all these kinds of things. It's just going to be great. And good times are happening. I saw that, like I said, the previous two rodeos. And when people are least suspecting it, that's when the other shoe drops. Remember, markets tend to go up like an escalator, but down like an elevator. And with technology, the way it has happened, in fact, if you look at 0102, for example, it took about, a year and a half, 2 years, top to bottom. It took some time to go down from top to bottom because, the technology wasn't as fast in 2000 and 2001 in that period as it is now. And then 08, 09 period dropped faster. It went down even faster and harder, by the way, the Great Recession. I believe that one took about, it was about 18 months. I think the 01, 02, I have to go back and look at a chart. I think it was 2 or 3 years even. My point is, 08, 09 went down faster than 01, 02. And I think my opinion is a lot of the reason had to do with technology, information, getting to people much faster, people being much more tuned in, dialed in, you know what I'm saying? Well, technology is a lot faster in 2024 than it was even in 08, 09. In fact, now you can get stock alerts and things like, you can get real-time quotes on your phone. I remember trading in markets personally in 2000, and that was unheard of. You couldn't do it on a phone for sure. That didn't exist. And even if you did on a computer, you had to pay thousands of dollars for software just to get real-time quotes. Today, you can get it for free on your phone. So, or you can send an alert or whatever. So how fast do you think things will happen this time? Is it going to correct? Absolutely. Have you prepared yourself for that? And if you think you're going to catch it, I mean, it's almost like a game of chicken up in Wall Street, all the big investors, it's going up, it's up, 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 and they're all looking at each other. They know the risk is heightened as it continues to go up, how far this is going to go. They're all kind of looking at each other. And until somebody calls the bluff and pulls the trigger and they start selling. And I can assure you within minutes, if not seconds, of one of the big players saying, I'm out, everybody else is going to be out. That's how it works, folks. And you're not going to be faster than them. Let's be real. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen before you know it. So my point is simple. Protect yourself, at least to some degree, from that downside risk. And I know it's hard to do. It's like, gosh, everything's gone so well, so far, so long, but maybe another analogy you can relate to, and I've been sharing, more and more people are getting concerned, so that's good. But a lot aren't. They're still kind of in la-la land because they're getting euphoric. It's an emotional feeling. Fear and greed are real. Real human emotions. And the analogy I share is it's kind of like if you're in Vegas and you're doing well and you got the chips piled up on the table and you've been winning, man. You've been doing great. What's the smart gambler do? Well, they take the chips they started with off the table. So then at least at that point you're playing with house money. You're playing with the paper gains, if you will. So if those take a dive, it stinks, I understand, but you didn't lose any real money because it wasn't your money anyway. You know, it was all paper gains anyway until you cash out. So my point is, if you've been winning, why not cash in your chips? Cash in what you've put into it and play with house money. And if you want to go with your personal bank, insured, guaranteed, tax-free, highly liquid, great. If you want to go into an annuity, double-digit upside with no downside risk, great. We can figure out which direction makes more sense for you. But as I stated earlier, this is the best time I've seen in my career. This is my 25th year of either of those products. Most exciting time we've been in now and for the foreseeable future. And I'm talking the next 3, 5, maybe even 10 years. When we look back on all this, I firmly believe, just like each decade, you know, we remember the decades where they have, you know, they're known for different things. Like the 1980s was known for music and big hair, right? Stuff like that. Well, financially, decades are remembered for different things also. You know, the 1970s was remembered for inflation, high gas prices, all that kind of stuff. Well, last decade was known, you know, historical stock market, low interest rates, easy monetary policy, real estate, boom, you know, stock market, boom. I believe this decade, when it's over, said and done, it's going to be known as the decade of fixed interest, guaranteed stuff, dividends, bonds, that type of stuff, known as a great decade for that. That's what I believe. We will see what happens, of course. But like I stated earlier, all of the indicators point that way. I've shared that on the show multiple times. I don't need to go into that. There's just every indicator is pointing to recession. And one last thing I'll leave you with. Because Warren Buffett is pulling out, selling stocks like you wouldn't believe, because he thinks we're at a market high. And as he stated, he'll get back in the market again once it crashes. That's what he's stating. And, you know, I don't know about you, but that guy seems to know what's going on better than most. And, of course, he's been doing it longer than most and better than most. I'm going to listen to somebody like Warren Buffett and all the indicators, not somebody who's hopeful with hopium, hoping things are going to keep going, who maybe doesn't have the experience or the knowledge or the track record to really understand what's going on. That's where I'm coming from. And like I said, there's other options. Contact me at yourpersonalbank.com if you want to diversify, reduce your market risk, increase, create a tax-free bucket of money. Why not? Taxes are going up most likely in another year or so if Congress doesn't change anything. Why not take those steps and thrive in a market where we're likely going to have higher interest rates for longer, as the Fed states. As always, I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned to Your Personal Bank show next week. And as long as it's on our money, in God we trust.
Financial literacy in America is almost non-existent. It's typically not taught in schools, the media, at work, or in the home. I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank show. If you would like me to speak to your investing group or an organization with a financial focus, please contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. My goal is to increase financial literacy and enhance your financial future. Again, it's 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank show hosted by Ference Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, Imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
This place has a pulse. You hear it in the canopy, feel it in the ground. Life, fully illuminated, engulfs you. From the birds singing in the treetops above to the tiniest insects in the soil below, you take a deep, cleansing breath, filling your lungs with the essence of the forest. Now, imagine it's all gone. Healthy, life-giving forests reduced to nothing. No singing birds, no lush canopy, and water and food in short supply around the world. Time is running out to protect our forests, and without our love, they can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our forests. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.